Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are getting ready for these second halves across the country. Kelly have made a change at the break, probably an injury. You're not swapping centre halves for no reason. Stuart Finlay replaced by Joe Wright. If you'd one piece of advice for Joe Wright, what would it be going on for the second
half?
Don't
get sent off. Don't foul.
See if he did, he genuinely would be as well. Just pack up, because Derek McKinnon, I think, I'm not sure how graphic I can be with my violent descriptions, I think he would
go off his head.
Be less than impressed. Similarly then, don't do what Callum Waters of Alloa's done. Go out, lads, keep it tight. See if you're on a booking. Don't do anything silly. 46 minutes, off you pop. Sent off, Callum Waters of Alloa. Let's get these second halves properly up and running then. I suppose let's take the positives. Not loads of goals, but what it does mean in our two Premiership games and our featured Championship game actually is that they're finely poised, Hugh Keevans. Plenty of scope for drama.
Well, you know, Dundee looking to build on their win last week. They're halfway there, goal up, but can't rule out Ballacaddy, St Johnston. I think Kilmarnock can build on their lead in Dingwall. Ross County, by the end of this season, will, I think, be the bottom club. They're the one club that don't really show any spark, any sign of life about them. So I think they could be in trouble. And the big story is still on for John McGlynn. He's one up against Inverness, Falkirk, back-to-back promotions, which would be utterly sensational.
Some early goals going in down the leagues as an example. Stenhouse Muir 2, Kelty Hearts 0, Gregor B. Cannon with the goal, obviously missing Scott Allen. Dundee have made a change. Braybrook for Silla at half-time. So don't know if that's an injury. It's one midfielder for another, but looking to build on the one goal advantage that they have. So let's see what happens then in the second half. So will we get plenty of drama and goals? Will it be tighter? And as the afternoon progresses, we'll then nod ahead to Pittodrie, because I think everyone would agree we're all really looking forward to Aberdeen Dundee United.
Even if it's only for a matter of hours, if Aberdeen beat or draw with Dundee United, top of the league on their own. And what a great source of satisfaction. The first half teaser, 1985, the last time Aberdeen won the league, 40 years ago. And to be the overnight leaders will be a great source of satisfaction. And then Celtic have to take their positivity from the Atalanta result to Motherwell with them, where they normally get, I mean, there've been some spectacular finishes there, late finishes, dramatic finishes.
Yeah, spectacular is not the word I would have used, but go on.
So I anticipate another close run thing tomorrow. I don't think Celtic just turn up and win 3-0. So very interesting. But Jimmy Tielan is also in the middle of that defining sequence that I spoke about earlier on in regard to Philippe Clement. Jimmy Tielan, Dundee United tonight, what Gordon Dalziel and I would have known as the new firm back in the day. Then he's got Rangers, and then he's got Celtic at Hampden in a cup semi-final. A big, big defining time for Jimmy Tielan.
If Dundee United won, Hugh,
yep,
they leapfrog Rangers.
Yeah.
Which, who could have, you know, foreseen that at the start of the season, and then only, you know, what would that be, 15? Yeah, 4 points behind the leaders as well. So for the good work that Jimmy Thielen's done, and he's done fantastic, and he will be up there challenging, and we hope for a long time, for Jim Goodwin and Dundee United to keep the pace or to keep close to Rangers, and Aberdeen and Celtic, if they win today, is unthinkable at the start of the season. So well done to them.
Is that not amazing, Hugh? We were just talking about, you know, the importance of going to school every day, and Mark went 18, 22, what would that be? 81, 2, 3, 4.
I had to look down and think if I got that right.
Oh, great save. Trevor Carson, almost an equaliser for St Johnston. Benjamin Kimpioka with the header, but a brilliant save from Trevor Carson in goal. Let's do this whilst we can, Hugh.
I think this is difficult, but every time I say that, Gordon Dalziel gets it in 60 seconds flat.
Oh, right, okay.
I won all three major trophies just once in my career in Scotland. I have been promoted from the Championship in England twice with two different teams. I have one cap for Scotland. Who am I? I won all three major trophies just once in my career in Scotland. I have been promoted from the Championship in England twice with two different teams. And I have one cap for Scotland. Who am I?
Good question. Really good question, that one. Don't get me wrong. The knowledge out there always comes out on top, and you people get it very quickly. But still, give it a bash. At Clyde SSB, Mark Wilson, show me your paper.
That's who it is.
He thinks he's got it already.
That's who it is, yes. That's who it is.
Is.
Oh, yes.
There's a first for everything. There is a first for everything. You've done it, Mark Wilson.
I'm so happy with myself.
We can see that.
So good.
Because
it's frustrated me weeks after weeks, this guy getting up before me, and it ruins the game for me.
That was, I would have got that, but that was good.
Thank you.
So alongside you in the one cap club, this guy.
Yes, I thought he would have got more than one cap. Yeah, talented player.
I think he thought you would have got more than one.
No doubt he would have. Be astonished. He only got one cap.
Good news for you, Hugh. The Bankies have gone one up. Alan Hudson has sent me a tweet to tell me Keith Nil, Clyde Bank 1 on 52 minutes.
Well, brilliant. Draw tomorrow. I want you to pull a nice Celtic or Rangers out of the hat for the Bankies.
No, they're not in it yet. That'll be tough.
Oh, well.
That'll be really tough to
Who's
do that.
Who's in it tomorrow, Gordon? Who comes in?
League One and Championship.
Oh, we'll take Partick Thistle.
Partick Thistle. That'd be a good one, eh?
Yeah. Clyde Bank Partick Thistle at the Stadio Joker.
Oh, we'd have to send you along to that, wouldn't
we? Oh, yeah. And
we'd need to check the weather first.
Yeah.
Well, can I have you doing what you done the last time?
Really?
No, it's okay. It should be next month. That was the fourth route. That was January. We sent him and nearly killed him.
Our plan did not work.
Glad he survived. That was grim. It was did Fraser Wishart not go with him to keep him warm? It was about minus 10.
But then Grace, who runs the bank, he said, come on upstairs and have a bath. We live
in the sink.
Are we live in there as we know it in Clydebank?
We'll fill up the sink.
That was a real worry for you that day, I have to say. I was very, very worried. But you made it. You pulled through. You're still with us. We don't have any goals in the Premiership to tell you about as we get the second halves underway. Still nothing major in the Cup apart from that Clydebank goal. You're a Genefield Swifts have equalised against Edinburgh City. I know you'll be worried about that.
And they've no lights.
No, they have.
The Swifties.
No.
Yes, they do.
But do you know how much it is electricity nowadays?
Oh, that's tough.
So the Swifts can't afford that. They'll probably have the meter turned off as we speak. So they better get a winner, or they'll be bringing in the cars and putting on the headlights.
I think in his own way, is this his way of getting back at you for all the stick that you give him and his physical appearance? He spent the halftime break sending me articles about every team in the draw nearly to show that they've got floodlights. Auchinleck Talbot, Genefield Swifts, and even Hill of Beath Hawthorne.
Yeah, this is a guy who we all had to have a sweep at the Christmas party to see who sits next to him. Now, that guy has just summed up why we have that sweep. And unfortunately, last year,
I really like Fraser's company.
No, they like Fraser.
I'm just saying that.
I've seen he gets a drink and he's the most boring guy I've ever heard in my life, honestly.
No, you're a terrible drunk.
No, it's terrible as Fraser.
No, honestly, you're.
No, I'm a good fun.
Nice.
I'm a funny, funny guy.
You're not, that's the thing.
Charming.
I actually feel like I don't mind having this out with you in front of hundreds of thousands of people listening.
Go for that. That's you're
fun. You are fun.
You've never been with me.
You're fun now. You're fun.
I'm a fun guy.
With your,
I'm not a mushroom.
With your 15 coffees a day.
Yeah.
You go the other way.
No, I do.
You're
not
no fun. No fun.
You ever seen that people? I've been too drunk to notice.
No fun. Not for me.
Catch yourself on.
St Johnston are on top, playing well at Dens Park, but still Dundee with that lead. That Simon Murray goal, we said it before the game though, you always feel with that Kimpioka Sidibe, you know, always a chance of at least getting themselves back.
Yeah, they've got good attacking options. Nicky Clark can get your goal as well when he's on form. The big problem, we highlighted it, was at the back. Dundee will fancy themselves, especially at home, to maybe grab another goal, which means that if St Johnston have got to get anything out of the game, they need two or three, which is always a big burden on your strikers. So I think that with home advantage, one up, I can see Dundee seeing that out.
Yeah, the way results are at the minute, you can see a wee gap just beginning to form. There, you know, if Kilmarnock went up to 12 and then Dundee as well, then you'll look at the clubs below them, St John's and Ross County. Big day for Hearts and Hibs as well tomorrow.
The bridge is shaking. Falkirk 2, Dunfermline 0. Calvin Miller with the goal, one of the standout players for Falkirk and in that division recently, and he has scored just before the hour mark. And you would have to say that looks a long bridge back for Dunfermline now. Falkirk 2, the Pals 0.
That's a bridge too far.
I like it. Ah, that was better.
Bridge too far.
Is that good? They say that twice.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
Yeah. So at the start of the day, they were 17 points apart. They'll be 20 points apart by the end of this match. It's Dunfermline who are in a bit of bother. Falkirk, the story goes on. Livy are still trailing. So Falkirk could actually extend their lead at the top of the championship table. And Dunfermline then go into a spot of bother because they're second bottom, 6 points, only one above, 1 point above, and one place above Airdrie.
Good news for Livingston, isn't it?
Dick off.
Yeah. That's a big, big blow.
That's Liam. Liam, he's been red carded after 55 minutes for a second bookable offence. So there is a numerical advantage now to Livingston, indeed. He's been sent off. Why did I do this? At Clyde SSB to stay in touch all afternoon. Give us the answers to the teaser. I still want more in your theories. We're trying to understand whether players go around goalkeepers as often as they used to. Gordondale, you still think?
What's your vote?
I think most people are agreeing that they don't do that as much anymore.
Yeah. Just don't. They do go down the dink route more, or that early finish. But is that striker coaching, or is that down to the goalies, like you said, not being
more athletic,
not being in a position?
Maybe the goalkeeper's more athletic.
Well, goalkeeping will have changed as well, because they do that, what's it called? The goalie coach can tell me it's like a 5 point save or something, where it's like a sort of star, but you tuck the knee in. You know which
one? An ice hockey goalkeeper. Yeah, they copy off of that, don't they?
But would that make it easier to go around them?
Yeah, because they're flat footed, they're down.
Just can't figure it out.
Do you know something? I would probably score more goals in modern day game with the goalkeepers like that.
Of your fitness regime. You wouldn't have that
Mark,
burst to get away from people.
I was Speedy Gonzalez. I was just, you wouldn't see me coming around you, bang, goal.
Anyway, right, Scottish Cup is on as well. I did say I'll keep you up to speed if there's anything just that jumps out. I don't want to hammer the point when there are so many ties and some interesting corners of the country, but we'll keep an eye just for what the local sides are up to. Dundee penalty claim, Curtis Main with a shot blocked. 6,500 in there as well, so a good crowd at the Tayside Derby. We'll wait and see if VAR, there is a delay as you would expect while they check, have a look. What have we learned this season? Willie Collins raised the bar of intervention, doesn't want as many handballs given. Take proximity into account, but not always going to be enough to let you off the hook. See John Souter as an example. See Joe Wright maybe, Kilmarnock at St Mirren. Just because it's close to you doesn't mean that it can't be a penalty. Is the hand particularly out? Is it particularly high? All these sorts of things. We'll have a look at that one when we can. Still a delay in play just now whilst they check through things.
See, when you're talking about Clyde, Scott, is Derek Young taking over there?
Darren Young. He's taking over. Elgin's a lucky place for Clyde. They won up Scottish Cup. Elgin was the place where they secured their place in the SPFL on the final day of last season by winning 3-0. So Elgin's a lucky ground for them.
I know one Clyde player who contacted me personally to complain about the draw because it is away at Elgin and he's having to miss some sort of family birthday party to go. I mean, it's just the life of a footballer. But let's be honest, you're all hoping for a close tie to
home. It'll be down the road by 9 p.m.
Midnight.
I've done that before.
9 o'clock.
Aye. 5 from Elgin. I've done that.
How did you spend your week actually, Mark Wilson? You weren't here. We've got a red card in, you'll never believe it, Killy.
Don't tell me. Please don't tell me it's right.
No, it's Liam Donnelly. But still,
another red card.
If that costs Killy a point, still. You know, they've had their issues this season with that. No surprise that the results have picked up when they started keeping everyone on the pitch. Two daft yellows as well for Liam Donnelly. Second bookable offence, 60 minutes gone. Killie lead, but they're down to 10 men.
Well, if it costs them, then Liam Donnelly better investigate train times because he won't be on the bus.
First is for kicking the ball away.
Oh.
Second for a pull on Conor Randall in the middle of the pitch.
And the thing is, if you're a manager and you set those standards with one player, you've got to follow them through with the next, because you're addressing the full dressing room.
Well, two bookings are different, and sometimes you're taking one for the team. Joe Wright punched a player in the you-know-what. Nah, that's different.
But if you're telling me if it gets booked for kicking the ball away,
depends on with that being the first. Anyway, it was a free kick to Ross County, so they're going to just take the free kick. Jordan White's going to take it. How's that for a double whammy? Oh. Kilmarnock fans hooked a loose ball into the net. Jordan White, I did wonder, I didn't really have visions of him whipping one into the top corner directly from the free kick. It was a bit further out, it fell loose to him, he's hooked it into the net. And a penny for the thoughts, Hugh, of Derek McInnes.
Well, raging will be one word, the most polite word I can come up with. But at the end of the day, he has to examine the lack of discipline among his players. He wanted them, to use his expression, to park the Rangers result. Yep, great day for the club, but you need to move on now.
Oh, the Inverness Cali fans. Oh no.
The train back will be hopeless.
Dumbarton 2, Inverness 1, Ryan Blair with the goal. But we've got a game on then in Dingwall currently with that sending off.
But he's got to address this. I don't know what he does. I agree with you that if you fine a man for two yellow cards, then the next guy guilty of it has to get fined as well. It doesn't matter the composition of the yellow cards, how they were brought about. He's two cards off the park, and now it's 1-1.
He's not going to fine every player who gets sent off, because what happens if it's a terrible decision and he doesn't deserve it? It's never going to happen. Like we said, Joe Wright had been sent off before. They were clearly told, and then he goes and lashes out at someone off the ball. That's very different.
I sort of disagree with you. I don't think you can just say right to yellow card. I think you've got to look at the incident.
I'll tell you who'll be squirming in his seat at the suggestion. The guy in Dingwall. You're going to tell Fraser Wishart that all his members are getting fined 2 weeks' wages every time they get sent off.
Definitely, yeah.
He's busy enough. His phone will be going off the hook.
Don't get me wrong, I'd be very frustrated if one of the yellow cards is just a simple kick the ball away. Yep. It's not. I don't understand why players do that. It's absolutely nonsense.
We need to see it, the context of that first, because referees can sometimes be quick to jump on that. Maybe you don't hear the whistle, so let's see it first before we comment.
Anyway, I was about to ask where you spent your week, Mark Wilson, because you were not here on Thursday. Scott Allen came and kept you company on
good
Thursday
show, was
night.
It? Oh, good job,
Scott. Scott's very good.
Award winning.
Brings out the best, man.
Where were you?
I was in Lisbon for the week. Oh. Educational trip, coaching trip, taking in Benfica. Oh
beautiful.
That was amazing, yeah.
What
Sunday
did you learn?
Thursday.
What did I learn?
Lots. By the way, it was interesting. We had lectures for all parts of the setup, but the goalie coach. And just because of names people know, Ederson was one of the ones that they sold, and they got him at 16, but they were saying they've got...
Not going to lie, I thought you meant Ederson came to talk to you about goalkeeping there.
I know.
Everything now feels a bit like a come down, but
the goalie coach, he was a man that shaped him.
Oh, wow.
But just their programme for goalies and all the detail. They've got 33 goalie coaches that spend one-to-ones with all the goalkeeping. And
so
everything
in Benfica's system, they've got 33 goalie coaches.
Yeah. And what they do is, I couldn't get my head around this. One day, I think it is a week, the under 14s, 15s, 16s, 18s, 19s, 20s, up to first team goalies train together. So they've got video footage of them all playing heady tennis and getting to know each other and that. So just an incredible way of doing things that never happens
here. Can we expect the Partick Thistle under 18s keeper to be firing 90 yard missiles with his right boot?
That was the interesting thing I said to him. Because you get to ask these guys, I said, Ederson, how did you shape him? Did you work in it? He said, he came to us 16. He was always good at the long pass. He expert at long pass. We had to get him working
on the short pass.
I'm sure your Portuguese is get better
there. You like that? That was the way I had to ask the question. But it was great. We took in the under 19 youth game.
You went to the Champions
League
game.
And then went to the Champions League game.
Who did they play again?
Feyenoord.
Score?
3-1 Feyenoord. Unbelievable.
The goalie coaches are hopeless.
Yeah. By the way, they couldn't dive and save it, but they were brilliant at their feet. But I was saying to Hugh, we were battering Celtic last season. Celtic should beat Feyenoord, and you know, they're minnows compared to everybody else. They were amazing.
So it was a good, enjoyable trip. You enjoyed it.
It was long days, yeah, to be honest.
So what was the qualification? UEFA
Elite A license that we have to do as part of the academy. This is for youth, yeah. You need to, somebody in your academy has to hold that. So we went away and done that.
It's been bothering me actually. Any of you get a B license, I can get a loan off.
You know what? He was right. You shouldn't be presenting unless you've got your qualifications, mate.
Listen, it's all about your credentials.
You shouldn't be.
I thought that was a stunning call.
Would you set up a session, Gordon, if you had Celtic, 8 players in there just now?
Have had a result that no one saw coming against the winners of the Europa League.
Somebody did.
No, Paddy was just at it.
Paddy Mourinho did.
No, I don't believe him, and he can phone at 5 o'clock.
I want to hear the level this guy played at.
But to come out of that Celtic result and performance, and all he wanted to do, he kept referring to the hacks. I'm proud to call myself a hack. It doesn't bother me.
I'm not even one, by the way, for what it's
worth.
But anyway,
not about the hacks. And now he had a B licence and therefore was possessed of superior knowledge to any of us. And I thought, not a word of praise for Celtic yet. Lots and lots of praise for Paddy and his B licence. Not a word of praise from Brendan Rodgers.
It was all good fun. And if you want to see the video, it's on our social media channels. Dundee won, St Johnstone won, and it's Graham Carey. We're talking about the change in goal for Dundee. I think he did play quite well last week, but Trevor Carson maybe dives a bit late. Maybe we're being too harsh. Either way, Graham Carey cuts in and shoots, and it's Dundee 1, St Johnstone 1.
Well, the Balakari revolution goes on. He's going to do well there. You just get a feeling that the club has been given a breath of fresh air, which it badly needed. They don't have a lot of money. They've got the new owners in. They've got problems which led to the removal of Craig Levein. But I just get the feeling that Balakari might just have the minerals, as they say, and possibly a B licence.
Yeah, good equaliser that for St Johnstone.
He's been a good servant for them, Graham Carey, over the years.
Nice left peg,
yeah, brilliant.
Good to have you back from Portugal. But the real question is, how many of those wee pastel de natas did you have?
Mate, by the way, I was thinking, right,
they're not the greatest things on
the breakfast buffet. That was the first one I ever had.
I
swear, because I know there's a shop in Byers Road, isn't there, that specialises in them. Passed by and never had one.
First
and I had one and I thought, Gordon loves these.
And? Did you
amazing.
Like
really good,
so
eh?
Good. So
they're like
good.
Mini creme brulee is only in a pastry. Do you like that? He doesn't know what.
Nah,
had one.
Listen,
like custard and a little pastry. Oh,
you're talking about a guy that goes home and has a roll pie for his dinner.
You heard of this the other night. He was bragging because he had a roll pie for his dinner.
It's like sitting down with a bottle of champagne and oysters. It was beautiful.
Rolling pie, a glass bottle of Iron Brew.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Scotch pie.
Scotch pie, McGee's roll.
Softer crispy.
Lure Park butter.
Softer crispy roll.
Back in the recliner and say no more. Fantastic. Sorry.
Softer crispy roll.
Oh, you've always got to go crispy, mate.
Okay.
That's a way forward.
A crispy roll with a crispy pie. And say that. Do you need a chainsaw to cut that?
No, you squeeze it down before you
sit on it.
Yeah. Sit on it.
We've gone from Paddy's B license to the Great British Bake Off.
Oh, Air United mold team. Against Mole team.
Airdrie 0, Air United 1. Could be a big goal, that, because people are looking last couple of weeks and wondering if is the magic dust come off Air a bit and Anton Dowd's injured. Having said that, everybody beats Airdrie at the moment. Sorry, Airdrie fans.
What's happening to the Airdrie, honestly? You just expect that they're going to win 1 week and then that'll be the blip over and they'll kick on, but they don't seem to have it.
Just the league though, so competitive, so many teams in there.
with quality at the top end of the pitch that you get punished.
Change for Kilmarnock, maybe trying to shore things up. So it's that man we spoke about, David Watson on and Kyle Vassell off. Is that a case of, you know, down to 10 men trying to just
probably
well, you've been more solid,
settle for a draw.
But Watson will still give you something going forward as well. Plenty of energy.
So if Ayr United can hold on to that, turn the scoreline into a result, they'll go 5 points behind Falkirk. Livy still losing, they would be 7 points behind Falkirk. That's a good day for John McGlynn.
I would fancy Livy to get an equaliser with Raith down to 10 men. Good. And they're at home as well, so they must be knocking on the door by now.
Hugh, if you would be so kind, remind us of your teaser, please.
I won all three major trophies just once in my career in Scotland. I have been promoted from the Championship in England twice with two different teams, and I also have one cap for Scotland. Who am I?
Okay, let's do some wrong answers and help you along the way. Stevie Robb thinks it is Charlie Adam.
It's not.
Josh Thompson, he'll have more than one cap, won't he? Josh Thompson wants to go for Callum Patterson.
No.
More than one cap as well. David Loughlin, a former teammate of Mark Wilson's, Paul Telfer.
No.
Great guy, of Telfer.
Did you see this guy? Did you have your one cap with this guy? Had his one cap?
Yeah.
No. What would be the chances of that happening?
He's not
old. Playing the same either.
Just the same.
Could you imagine sitting the bench, the two of them looking at each other because they were that bad, and singing, we've got to be known as the one cap guys.
How much better are we than guys who didn't even get a call up?
Exactly. We've got to be one cap wonders.
Game on at the Bridge Derby. Falkirk 2 Dunfermline 1. Lewis McCann has pulled one back. You all had Falkirk off into the distance after going 2-0 up. Could we have some late drama on our hands there? Dunfermline score through Lewis McCann.
Well, what a great finish to that game.
Hold on, I had the Pars for a draw.
So you did.
So
well done.
I'm still in.
What did I put? I put a home win.
I said Falkirk convincingly. It was looking that way, but a wee bit of pressure upon them.
I had Ross County and Kilmarnock was a draw.
Well, so you did. Well done.
It's all over for the Cali Thistle boys. 3-1 down now.
Get the early train.
Yeah.
Back up.
What a journey that is. If you have to, you know, you've just lost 3-1 to Dunbarton. You're thinking, right, back home.
How many games did you play at The Rock, do we think, Mark?
Not many. Handful.
Handful.
Aye.
That's a stadium I got locked in.
The
Never
Rock.
Forget it.
Aye.
Had they phoned Jim Duffy, the manager, to come back?
I remember the man that replaced me on Thursday night. I remember playing against him at The Rock. He was outstanding.
Who did he play for?
Scott Allen.
Yeah. He was outstanding that day.
By the way,
I'm sure there are obviously good reasons for it with The Rock, etc., and the castle, but it would be so good if the one stand was on the other side and you could see The Rock, wouldn't it? While you're sitting watching the game.
That's a good point. Why did they not do that?
Because the pictures of it look so good from.
What would be even better if they put the dugouts at the same side of the stand, because you needed to walk all the way over the other side.
Talking about Scott Allen, right? This is when you know you're a dinosaur. He came in on Thursday night and he went, I need to apologise to you. I didn't know you played with Rangers. I had to Google it.
Can you imagine how he felt?
You would have disliked him
Google,
right away.
You'd have Google my cup finals and everything, my goals, my captaincy and everything. When you're at Kelly.
You would have took that personally.
No, I didn't. Never spoke to him for about half an hour.
He was not happy, I have to say.
Google me.
East Kilbride 1 Bonnyrigg Rose 1 now. In that cup game that we're speaking about, a few interesting ones. The Bankies are 2-0 up, Hugh. So you would imagine
going done and dusted,
home and hosed,
going into the hat by the looks of things.
Is Gordon Moffitt remains the only unbeaten or the only 100% manager now
in the pyramid, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
For what?
The Bankies have won all the league games.
Have they?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it the UK as well?
I think that would depend, because
how far you get in England.
If you're opening it up to the Scottish pyramid, I don't know. You might be right, but I don't know how many tiers you want to go down in England's pyramid. But
let's just say the UK.
With well Aberdeen,
he's won every league.
Is that a street?
With
a
Aberdeen
street,
and
good neighbour
of Aberdeen drawing at Celtic last week, of course, both of them fell out of that equation. And there we go.
Yeah, good on him.
It's a good record.
There, Fraser Wishart says, talking about age, he used to play football as a kid with Scott Allen's dad down the park.
Oh.
What else have we got coming in at the moment? No goals to tell you about, I don't think. The good news is we won't be a million miles away from building up to kick off at Pittodrie. Really looking forward to that. And then it sets us up beautifully for our wonderful day tomorrow, an Edinburgh derby, Celtic and Rangers coming off European games. So much to get excited about. So we'll see how we progress between now and the end of the show. We will of course take your phone calls as well, so get ready, give us some good stuff on a Saturday evening.
Aberdeen a sellout tonight, I assume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we're now taking this stuff for granted. You know, the when the figure came out that more people per capita watch the Premiership than anywhere else in Europe, the crowds are terrific. We can have various discussions about the quality of the football sometimes, but the people are buying into it.
Livingston 1, Raith Rovers 1, an equaliser there. It's one of the men recently signed, not known for his goal scoring, Danny Wilson, on 75 minutes. Livy 1, Raith Rovers 1.
That's a good signing. Was he over in America? Am I right in saying that?
I think so.
A while
yeah.
ago, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a man when I got my one cat was in the round.
That's right.
Yeah, because my strip says M. Wilson. Yeah. M. Dot Wilson, because it was in the D. Dot Wilson.
Yeah. How bad must we have been then?
he was playing for Liverpool. Liverpool.
He played for Liverpool. I was in the bath longer and he was in Liverpool.
No, but if you come through,
and I go, Danny Wilson, I hope he listens to this podcast. But
Danny Wilson, how many games did he play with Liverpool?
Two.
There you
two
go.
Two league games.
Two more than you.
I played more with Man City, the champions.
Oh, don't get Man City.
What division?
The top division. Nah. Chelsea, Stamford Bridge, Leeds, all the big teams names at the time. Big crowds, big atmospheres. Not like these games nowadays.
Guys get 140 appearances in the MLS. It was a kid coming through at Rangers, got a move to Liverpool.
He's going to sell it to MLS now. Messi's run up. He's going to
peace. You went to Australia, couldn't hack it, and came back after 2 weeks.
I went to Australia for a holiday. Football got in the way.
Ange Postecoglou saw you off.
Well, big Ange. Good lad.
Up the road.
Yeah.
With your tail between your legs.
Correct.
Anyway, apologies for that.
Anyway, Danny's good signing. I like that. Good experience and got a good important goal this afternoon.
Livy will obviously look to try and kick on, get that winner, won't they, with Raith down to 10 men.
Got to think so. You've got to fancy it now. A good goal that for Hamilton as well.
Yes, really? Hamilton Aki's won more to nil. Ollie Shaw with the goal. Ollie Shaw has shown he can definitely score goals in the Championship. Just couldn't quite do it for Motherwell in the Premiership, but gone to Aki's and found his shooting boots this season. And they take a 1-0 lead with about 15 minutes to go against Morton.
Well, big finishes building up then. Falkirk Dunfermline, I can imagine what the crowd are like there now. Can St Johnson nick a winner at Dens Park? And Derek McInnes, I'd love to hear his post-match interview, as another red card leads to another goal and they're drawing when they had the 3 points in the bag.
Seventh of the season for Ollie Shaw. That'll be an interesting day for Dougie Imrie, of course, a big favourite at Hamilton Accies, but in charge of Morton these days. Ross Cunningham of Kelty's pulled one back, Steny 2, Kelty 1. A couple of changes now, we're at that stage. Hale and Reid off, Brophy and Ifeti for Ross County. They of course do have a numerical advantage. You would have to say Kelly do look happy with a point at this stage. Jack Burrows on for Danny Armstrong.
I think when you take into consideration, if Derek McInnes was grouping the games together, three games, Dundee away, Rangers home, Ross County away, and you gave him that points total, he would be happy. Yeah. But you know, just after the Rangers game, how they were feeling about themselves and how Ross County were at McDermott Park last week, he would have fancied 3 points. But down to 10 men, yeah, you're right, he'll probably settle for that now.
Late drama, Hugh, anywhere? Falkirk, Ross County,
surely
Dundee?
Not at Falkirk, surely.
Dunfermline's have got good attacking players.
Who do you like?
Kane. I like Kane, that played with St Johnson. Oh,
Craig Brewster.
Oh, there one for you. Yeah. I was glad I came out with that.
It was a great answer. You were quick.
Oh, the only one I could remember.
Craig Brewster and Stevie Crawford. Yeah.
They were a double act. Them playing against them were difficult.
I'm more of a Billy Mehmet man.
I made the two of them,
Brewster and Crawford.
Oh, well, I had partnership with Brewster and Crawford, didn't I?
But they were better together. No, than they were with you.
Look back the records.
plenty of years, 35 plus. Every
I mean, Chris
season.
Kane's not like in the squad today or anything.
Is he
just,
not? But
just
he's a
clarity.
Good centre forward, isn't
right,
he? For
okay.
right.
Witherspoon.
Oh, yeah, he scored a great goal against.
On the bench, don't worry about him either. All thanks right. for listening,
he's
though.
He's a good
thanks
team
for,
player.
For paying attention.
But he can come off the bench and score a winner.
Okay. Don't forget the phone lines will be open for you very soon. Oh. Well, there's Ollie Shaw again. Whatever number I said he was for the season, add on another. Hamilton Accies 2, Morton 0. That will be the points, you would imagine.
Mm. Takes him above Morton, doesn't it? In the league.
And let's go for a sort of 5-ish minute warning on the teaser, Hugh.
I won all three major trophies just once in my career in Scotland. I have been promoted from the Championship in England twice with two different teams. And I have one cap for Scotland. Who am I?
JB goes Barry Mackay.
Nope.
Alan goes Malky Mackay.
Malky Mackay.
Other no. Mackays are available. Callum Patterson's a really common wrong answer. CJD wanted to throw in Gordon Greer.
No, no.
Three major trophies, Gordon Greer and Callum Patterson.
I know.
No, that's the thing.
Think
they're,
about
they're getting,
it.
They're getting
think
filled,
about it.
Filled with the second part of the clue, perhaps. But a few people have it. Don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you worry about that. Yep. As always, have we ever had a teaser, a Who Am I, where no one gets it?
No,
I don't think we have.
Don't
have
think
we?
So.
Not even close.
Have you got three for a podium?
Yeah, probably.
I think you've got to put Mark up there. That's the fastest ever.
Oh, of course.
He must have seen the answer.
I just know my stuff.
East Kilbride have taken a 2-1 lead against Bonnyrigg Rose in the cup. So with about 8 minutes to go, maybe we will have Lowland League beating League 2 opposition. We will see.
What will you say about the Kirby tomorrow?
Something boring probably.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The Kirby, is that their
Kilby
nickname? Kilby.
Kilby.
I thought it was a Kirby.
Why would it
it's
be
it's a game
think about the name. Let's do it logically.
I'm not really interested about the name. It was I just thought it was Kirby.
It's got right. to be about the name if you're saying the name.
Hold on a minute. Right. East Ross Counties are the Staggies. So how's that their name?
East Kilbride.
Right.
Kilby.
I thought it was Kirby.
Like that East game.
Kirby. Brilliant. Yeah.
What a game that was. That
was brilliant, wasn't it?
Oh, the highlight.
You good at Kirby?
I was good at Kirby. I loved it.
What was
it
your technique?
I was more a real go at it. Know how people try and just bounce.
Power.
I was power.
Direct,
yeah.
But would you go like, you know, like sort of one handed throw? Are you going the two handed, like kind of chest pass type?
No, I'm two handed. I'm a two handed.
Oh, precision.
Ross County 2, Kilmarnock 1. And we said he'd been sent on at half time. We said, please don't get sent off. Joe Wright is on the pitch, but he scored an own goal. And it's Ross County 2, 10 man, Kilmarnock 1. They've chucked it away. Derek McInnes will not be happy.
Derek McInnes will be sitting beside Alan Archibald in the bus, and there'll be no players on it. They'll just go back themselves and just lead a lot of them up there.
Again, look, could be I'm sure it's completely down to bad luck. It's not Joe Wright's fault, all that sort of stuff. But it's just it never rains but it pours.
Yeah. You know, for Joe Wright,
how do you figure out our game? You know, Kilmarnock beat Rangers, it's
but they're down to 10 men as well, Hugh. You know what I mean? Well, Hibs were going to pick up the 3 points at Tandish last week. Went down to 10 men, lost. But you just look at Ross County at home. They got the encouragement. They scored right from the Kilmarnock player getting sent off. Who was it again?
Free kick, Liam Donnelly.
Liam Donnelly scored for a free kick. That changes games. Mm. Big moments change games.
Ross County now go above Kilmarnock the table. If that, right, if that stays,
yeah, incredible.
Is that a team you had relegated 5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Showing great spirit to defy.
I still think Neil Critchley's still fighting for his job in my eyes.
Ollie Shaw's got a hat trick. That must be
the quickest for a while.
No, just in the space. Yeah, in the space of how many minutes? That must be right up there.
Bet any money went round the goalkeeper.
A 7 minute hat trick.
Wow.
You happy with that?
Best young player in Europe.
Oh God, remember.
He never lost that tag.
Was that what he was named?
No, Leanne Dempster once said he was one of the best young players in Europe.
I haven't seen some of the young players in Europe this week.
Benfica
are miles off.
Did you see any big hitters, any famous faces?
Yeah, I did. Di Maria, he was strolling about match day with his suit Then at the youth game, who turns up? Amazing. Looking a million. Rui Costa.
Oh, I loved him.
Rui Costa wearing a suit.
Was it Fiorentina?
Slick back hair, then pulled at the aviator shades just to take in the game.
How were you looking at this point with your baggy SFA tracksuit on?
Had the big blue polo shirt that had been ironed.
Somebody sent me a picture of you.
Well, that's what you get handed. Straight in the case. Take that, put that on and wear it every day. We weren't looking our best.
Rui Costa.
Rui Costa.
52 as well. I bet he was looking.
And Samal was there, but they all just look a different breed. I bet from Scottish players.
I bet they even smell nice.
Oh, I know.
That's what I like. The aroma of the aftershave and the deodorants just mixing together to get that nice flowery sort of smile. I like that. I really do. Yeah. That's what makes a good player.
Different.
Whatever floats your boat.
Scotland, you want Bio.
Gone from the Great British Bake Off to Celebrity Makeover.
Let's do this, Hugh.
I won all three major trophies just once in my career in Scotland. I have been promoted from the Championship in England twice with two different teams. And I have one cap for Scotland. I am Ross Wallace.
Ross Wallace. Well done if you got that right. Oh, I don't even have the podium yet. Oh my goodness, what's happened here? We're obviously caught up in the late drama. I'll get you that podium very soon. But to put you out your misery, that is the competition closed, if you like. It is Ross Wallace. What gave it away, Mark? You got it so quickly.
Well, the three major trophies, obviously, I think he scored a hat trick, did he not, in one of the rounds. Promoted twice, Burnley, Preston, maybe. I'm going to say
Sheffield. No, Sheffield
might have been.
No,
Sheffield. No, he wouldn't have been. Preston never got promoted to the Premiership.
So basically, you seen the answer. Yeah,
I didn't see the answer.
Yeah, you did.
It was good work for me.
Yeah, it's late.
I didn't see the answer.
Sunderland,
Sunderland. That's what I meant. Sunderland.
He was too quick.
David was the third place on the Ross Wallace. Leroy in second, and Jai McAllister, the winner of the second half teaser. Great Ross Wallace knowledge. It would have been a hard push to be quicker than Mark Wilson, but he's not in the competition. So well done to you. You have the bragging rights. You can go and tell everybody whatever you're doing on a Saturday night. Did you hear me? I was the winner on the second half teaser on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What an accolade. Add it to your CV if you like. Right, are we getting late drama anywhere, you three?
Well, we've already had late drama, I would suggest, with that Joe Wright own goal.
Yeah, I think that's us done.
Nothing at Dens. Don't fancy that.
Nah, a draw. I thought Dundee would have nicked that. I fancied both teams to score in that, but it's going to end up a share of the spoils for both sides.
Scorer of many, many lower
still
league goals
going, eh?
Over the years, Mitch Meginson has put the game beyond Montrose. Montrose nil, Cove Rangers 2. Mitch Meginson on 86 minutes. So you would imagine, barring a spectacular late comeback, Cove have the points there.
Yeah, good result that for Paul Hartley's side. Mitch Meginson, he was a thorn in the side when I was at Brecon. Any time came up against him, he would score.
Most strikers did. When you...
Cove, he's been there that long.
Has he? I thought he's moved about a few clubs.
He's been
there
that long. He's a good player, especially at that level. Yep.
Yeah, scores a lot of goals. He's only 32, by the way. I would have.
Is he really?
A lot older. He's been at Cove for about 8 years now.
Yep.
Scoring well
Aberdeen
over,
when he was a kid.
Yeah. Well over 200 goals for Cove. So doing very well indeed, and scoring this afternoon. So we've done the teaser. We're leaving the door open for late drama. I don't think we get that much. We don't have much scope because we've only got a couple of games. Tyrese McDonald, Alloa, is that them down to nine men? I'm sure it is Alloa.
Is it?
Yeah, so this one's in the 90th minute though, so won't have too much more of an impact on the match.
You've been sent off for having a daft name.
Second bookable offence in that one.
Tyrese.
What else have we got? Oh, chance for Lewis Nielsen, but he heads straight at Trevor Carson. Should do better.
Ooh, told you. Could be drama up there. Because remember, it's not 5 o'clock yet, because that's when the games usually finish.
Oh, last weekend was outrageous, wasn't it? What was the time again we said when Dundee United eventually scored the winner against us?
After five o'clock.
Wow.
Anyway, Brighton have won. That's all that matters.
Remarkable. Another good result here.
Yep.
Wolves are struggling, right enough. I think they must be down the bottom by now, they're not. They're losing single game.
Oh,
just
I felt for them last week though. City push City close, and then the John Stones header.
John Stones header, right then.
Surprised that wasn't disallowed.
Why?
Was there a player right in front of goal?
He wasn't. See, that's the thing. See when you see the angle from behind. See, it was crazy the way it played out, because when you saw it from behind, he was nowhere near in front.
Oh, was he not? Sorry.
He was so clever though, because it was Bernardo Silva. He leans on the goalie as the corner comes in, but as soon as, obviously he can only become offside once John Stones heads it forward. Can't be offside from the corner. So as soon as Stones was about to head it, he moves away from the goalie.
Ah.
You could argue, you know, he maybe put the goalie off a bit, but he's not in an offside position. But then it was very smart. Okay. Anyway, Hugh, the Seagulls, you'll be happy.
Yeah,
as we said, 2-0. Evan Ferguson,
Irish boy, good player.
East Kilbride are going to go through. They're going to knock out league opposition. And Bonnyrigg was the 3-1 up.
Big result that.
See, you've got me thinking now. Clydebank, Partick Thistle in the next round. That's the one we want, and you are officiating at the draw. So see what you can do.
Oh, I couldn't possibly suggest that we can make it happen. It's the luck of the draw, as
they say. Who's your guest tomorrow, Gordon?
I can't remember if I'm allowed to say that. Not because top secret or anything.
He's got a build like you.
I just don't know if
I know that much.
He's a physical specimen like you. Don't guess, please, because I don't want to say.
I think we go to the same gym.
I think unlikely, but let's please do leave it there, because I don't know. And he might cancel or something. He won't, but just in case.
You know the man to call in then if he does. Yeah, nobody will notice any difference.
Bad man.
Bad guy.
Get the bad guy in.
What are you on about? Anyway,
the bad guy that was sitting next to Hugh.
Dundee 1 St Johnston 2. They've done it at the end. And it's that man, it's Nicky Clark. Scored late last week, it was offside. And this one, we assume, will count. Bundles it in after a corner. And Dundee, who were 1-0 up, the Simo Vallecari factor, the new manager bounce, call it what you want, it is working for the Saints. Dundee 1 St Johnston 2, right at the death.
That's a sensational result. If he can hold on for the next couple of minutes. Vallecari, I think, was an interesting appointment, and it gets more interesting by the game.
Saints fans loving it, as you would expect. We like that. Love it when a goal goes in late and you see.
Well, they're now above Dundee.
Tell me, St Johnston, haven't they just jumped into the top six?
Yeah.
Yeah, what an impact Vallecari's made.
They were sitting in relegation, now they're in the top six.
Danny Wilson, who equalised for Livy, sent off now. A few red cards happening. Confirmation of that Nicky Clark goal coming through. Air United have beaten Airdrie, or both have beaten Alloa. Full time whistle starting to go. Now there's a VAR check. Where? On the Nicky Clark goal.
Oh.
As I said, he got done out of one for offside last week, and it's a possible offside again.
Oh.
I don't mean to stress you out, Hugh, but the Seagulls have conceded with a couple of minutes to go. Brighton 2, Wolves 1.
That'd be fine.
What's our man in the ground saying? Does he think it's offside?
He hasn't disclosed that information.
Wasn't he letting?
Yeah.
To be fair, it's irrelevant, isn't it?
It doesn't matter what he thinks.
No, I like to see if they're on the ball.
Why do you have VAR?
If they're concentrating.
As if his naked eye from the back of the stand.
Every time you watch a game, we go, that looks like it's offside.
On TV.
Yeah, but he's sitting right. He's got a great view of that.
Not if it's up the other end.
Yeah, no, well, it's up to right.
Remember the. Oh, in fact, you must be joking. Is it Dundee? It's got a restricted view press box.
It's
a main stand that's folded in half.
It's the worst.
And there's
ever.
A big pole. Look, in fact, he's actually sent me a picture. Look at that. I hope that's not the offside line right behind that big pole.
Nothing there.
Oh, have I not? Oh. A picture.
Oh.
Every time I turn my computer around, I accidentally turn it off by the looks of it. But anyway, he's got restricted view press seats. So.
There you are, Falkirk, home and hosed.
Yeah, 2-1, that's well done. We'll give you the full time result report in just a second. Still waiting. I want to wait to give you the outcome of that before we get to the Falkirk report. Still waiting. Everyone, why does it take so long? But of course, once you've established if it's onside, as an example, you're then checking the attacking phase of play, making sure that things aren't untowards there. So it can take a bit longer than you expect, albeit I think we would all hope these things could be done a bit quicker. Still waiting. I wonder if I should play like the tense music when this happens.
Experience in midweek at the Benfica game, there was two goals for Fenner chalked off, but it was a long time in the stadium, not much information.
So even Champions League, yeah, you're experiencing it.
If you take that length of time, does that not perhaps sway you towards the idea that there's nothing wrong with it? If you happen to take this long to find something wrong.
Like I said, it's not as simple as that, because it might be quite complex to establish who's where and where the point is, but there might be something else once you've established whether it's offside or not. And in fact, I wonder if it is one where you're talking about someone in front of the goalie, because he's gone to the screen, which means there is a subjective decision there for the ref to make. See, if it's just an offside,
they call it.
They don't go to the screen. Yeah. They're told, but the ref's gone to the screen, so it's not a factual decision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, David Friel says it's clear as mud in the stadium, which I know is a real complication, and I wish there was a way of clearing it up. But also, we have seen enough examples that we should know now kind of what that means. The ref's been asked to come and look at something. So it could be the players in front of the goalie, or something happened in the attacking phase of play. But either way, usually once they go to the screen.
Great result for Thistle. 1-0 finished away to Queen's Park.
Oh, Livy.
Oh, they've done it as well. Told Michael you. Nottingham in the 95th minute. Both teams down to 10.
Oh no.
What?
Joe Wright sent off. Well, I don't know what you're laughing at. I think this is a wholly serious, serious episode.
No way, serious
for Joe Wright.
Play.
Is that three this season for him alone?
Yeah.
After being fined 2 weeks' wages for the last one.
Ooh.
The only good thing is it's in the dying moments. He might get away with it.
No, he won't.
Either 2-1 down.
I'm not sure.
I think the only thing that gets him away with it really is if Derek McInnes feels he's been hard done by. Because he's still going to be serious foul player. It's a too much suspension. I can't remember how it works. Is it maybe the seagull's too old? Is it maybe even more because of his previous red? I can't remember quite how that works on this occasion.
Have we had a player that's been sent off three times
before Halloween?
Before Halloween, yeah.
Wow, Joe Wright, seriously.
I'm telling you, the Derek McInnes and Alan Archibald on the bus, and they're at the players' train home.
It would be a 4-match ban, thinks Fraser Wishart, because it's the third red card. So I know you're saying he gets away with it. No, because Stuart Finlay potentially off injured. You're looking for Joe Wright to play. Hold on. It's been downgraded to a yellow.
Oh,
he's the luckiest man.
Oh, so he's still on?
He's still on.
Oh,
they're not still checking this St Johnston goal, are they?
They're getting a decision there? Now.
They're waiting for a Joe Wright incident.
There must be some sort of drama, to be fair, in this, because Kevin Clancy's now calling the managers together in light of
for
that.
For what?
Goal. Well, that obviously I don't know. Yeah.
Right, heads or tails? Heads it's a goal, tails it's not.
It could be.
Why would they be calling the managers together?
That's nonsense.
Could be anything.
Well, you don't get any objectivity there, because they've got their own entrenched views.
No, I don't think they're going to be asked anything. I think they're obviously being told something.
What do you think of this, guys? What's your opinion on this?
Would you get a goal if you were me?
I wonder if there's a technological breakdown or something, maybe. Anyway. Goal stands for St Johnstone, and full time in Dingwall. What an afternoon we've had. Take it away, will you, Fraser Wishart?
Yeah, what a half an afternoon for me. The first half was very poor here in Dingwall. The second half was excellent, full of plenty of instant, and they got three goals because it finished Ross County 2, Kilmarnock 1. It's an amazing how football can change in a moment on the hour. Kelly were one up through the first half. Corian Daba goal. Second half, they're looking comfortable. County struggling to create anything. Liam Donnelly then picked up two yellow cards in quick succession, the second from a foul, and from that free kick John White scored. And then the unfortunate Joe Wright, what a bad season he's having this so far. He turned the ball into his own net, which turned out to be the winner for County. And a very poor first half. Stuart Finlay came closest to scoring, 38 minutes, danced past three defenders. Low shot was really well saved by Laidlaw, low to his left. But a minute later came the open, the ball was cut back to the edge of the box, and Corian Daba didn't break stride, he struck it first time. It was a lovely strike, low into the corner of the net for 20 yards past Laidlaw, who had absolutely no chance. County's only threat was a couple and efforts by Chilver, comfortably saved by McCrory. Hope for better in the second half, and although the game stayed in the same pattern, it wasn't quite as exciting as the end of the game. Killie are comfortable, County offering little in attack. Don Cowie, a lot to think about. He's contemplating substitutions, but he didn't make any changes because it was Killie themselves that changed the game in 61 minutes. Said Liam Donnelly, two yellow cards in quick succession, one for kicking the ball away, the second for a tug on Connor Randall. And when that free kick was launched into the box, the loose ball fell to John White, who hooked the ball home from about 8 yards. All of a sudden, County were flying. Chilvers almost scored a second 20 yards free kick, dipped just over. McCrory was scrambling. The County fans thought he had scored, but the ball hit the top of the net. Danny McInnes then brought on Watson for Skipper Vassell to try and get a grip of the game, and it worked to an extent because the Sting was out of County's play until 82 minutes. They were ahead. Chilvers on an in-swinging corner. Lopato got a flick to the ball, just the tiniest touch, and it hit the unfortunate Joe Wright. He couldn't do much about it. It hit Joe Wright and into the back of the net. Definitely an own goal. And Wright still had a bit of drama in the final minute of stoppage time. Referee Matthew McDermott showed the defender a red card that could have been his third of the season. The defender couldn't believe it. He had his head in his hands, but it was an assistant referee that gave the decision. But McDermott was sent to the screen by VAR ref Andrew Dallas, and he downgraded it to a yellow. Don Cowie to be delighted with the 3 points. It looks so unlikely for a long part of this game. At Danny McInnes, he'll be wondering, and I think he'll be angry at the way his team threw away a lead when they were comfortable in the game. Full time in Dingwall, Ross County 2, Kilmarnock 1.
Still not finished, I don't think, in David Field's game at Dens. Let's go to the Falkirk Stadium. It's finished there. Here's Lana Mackay.
Full time at the Falkirk Stadium, and it's Falkirk 2, Dunfermline 1. A first half own goal from Chris Hamilton. Sorry, Ethan Ross, I think that one's been taken off you. And another from Calvin Miller sees the Bairns remain 4 points clear at the top of the Championship. Lewis McCann's header snatched one back for the Pars with 15 minutes to go, and it's been a tense ending here at the Falkirk Stadium. It was Gary Oliver who set up Ethan Ross for the opener inside the first half hour. His shot cannoned off the post before it deflected off Chris Hamilton and into the back of the net. A narrow advantage for the Bairns at the break, but it was the visitors who started the second half on top. Against the run of play, Calvin Miller fired in the rebound from Aidan Nisbet's shot, which went straight to the keeper, and the home side looked to have the game out of sight with that second goal, but Dunfermline battled away, shooting into the away end and spurred on by their supporters. They got their reward with quarter of an hour to go, and Lewis McCann's header sailed into the back of the net from David Wotherspoon's free kick, and it was absolute pandemonium in the away end. A very edgy end to this game, but it's now back-to-back Kincardine Derby wins for Falkirk and a first home win against their rivals since 2017. 8 wins and 11 for John McGlynn's side in the Championship, and it's now 6 defeats in the league for Dunfermline. They fought well in this second half, but it's the Bairns who take away all 3 points, and the pressure's really on boss James McPake now to turn this season around for Dunfermline. Full time at the Falkirk Stadium, Falkirk 2, Dunfermline 1.
What a game, what an occasion, and the 3 points going to the Bairns. Still not finished in that game. David Phelan desperate to know. Must have been some sort of issue for the cheque to take so long, and then for Kevin Clancy to talk with both managers before giving the goal. Quite an incredible end to that one, and an incredible end as well if you look at the game in Dingwall. It's just incredible that Joe Wright, we thought he did his third red card of the season. He was fined 2 weeks' wages for the last one, and then is Joe Wright just about to be now become the world's biggest fan of VAR because it's downgraded his red to yellow? What a relief that must have been, Hugh.
Well, it'll still do nothing for Derek McInnes' blood pressure. He'll just look upon it as a disaster of a day. Not to follow on from the win over Rangers, in fact, to implode in the win over after the win over Rangers, it's been a rank bad day for Derek McInnes and for Kilmarnock. He'll be very upset.
Finally, full time at Dens, Dundee and St Johnstone. David Friel's been there.
Yeah, finally, Gordon, what a game. What excitement here, what drama at the end as well. Full timed in D1, St Johnstone 2. Simo Vallecari, what a start from him. He's getting a hero's reception from the 1500 St Johnstone fans inside Dens Park. Nicky Clark with the late drama. That was only half the story. There was a long, long VAR check. Kevin Clancy was sent to the monitor. There was talk of an offside. There was talk of a handball leading to a penalty. He eventually grabbed both managers together to explain his reason behind decision. But in the end, the goal stands. St Johnstone win the game and they move into the top six. Incredible scenes. This was Vallecari's first official match in charge. He's clearly making an impact. His team were excellent throughout it. They deserved the 3 points. Dundee weren't at the races. They had gone ahead at the break. Simon Murphy's eighth goal of the season. That came in 12 minutes. It was a nightmare for St Johnstone defender Jack Sanders. He failed to deal with a long Trevor Carson clearance. The ball bounced. Murray came to life, nipped in between Sanders and Ross Sinclair, the St Johnstone goalkeeper. Lobbed it over them and headed into the empty net. Dundee could have made it 2-0. Ziad Larkes was unlucky with a shot. But St Johnstone were really dominant on the ball. He's so much possession and a golden chance to level before the break. Adama Sidibe, he was at live wire all afternoon. He won the ball race clean through, but Trevor Carson made a big save. The keeper was called upon after the break as well. Saints kept pushing and pushing. Benji Kimpioka, his header was saved by Carson. Nicky Clark almost scored. Matt Smith also came close. He sensed a Saints equaliser was coming, and sub Graham Carey got it in 64 minutes. He's got a great left foot on him. He'd never let him cut in from the right, but that's what Dundee did. He found the bottom corner from around 20 yards. Trevor Carson appearing to react late. Dundee did improve after that. Scott Tiffany came on. He was a threat. He had a shot saved by Ross Sinclair. Lewis Nielsen, though, also had a chance to win it at the end. For St Johnstone, he headed straight at Trevor Carson. Looks like the game was going to finish 1-1, but then really late on, it was late drama. Graham Carey, his corner caused chaos in the box. Nicky Clark was on hand to bundle in from close range. St Johnstone fans spilled onto the track. St Johnstone players were celebrating, but then came the dreaded signal. It was going to be a VAR check. Kevin Clancy over to the sidelines, but they don't care now. The goal stood. It's 3 points. It's a derby win. St Johnstone into the top six. Full time, Dundee 1, St Johnstone 2.
What an afternoon. Only had a couple of games, but what an afternoon of drama, and we're not done yet. Aberdeen against Dundee United still to come. So we're going to give you the preview of that one. How are you feeling about tomorrow then? Motherwell fans, Celtic fans, Rangers fans, St Mirren fans, Hibs and Hearts. What a card that is. Three brilliant games to look forward to. So how are you feeling about them? Rangers fans, you saw Barron and Raskin together. Is that the key? Do you keep them together? What would you do to the team tomorrow based on what you saw in Europe during the week? Celtic fans, same for you. Is there scope there to mix it up? Maybe a first start perhaps for Luke McCowan. Would you bring Cameron Carter-Vickers back? What else would you do for the trip to Fir Park? Maybe Kyogo back into the starting 11. Motherwell fans, can you stop Celtic? Can you be the first team to beat them this season? Give us all your thoughts ahead of tomorrow. Hibs and Hearts as well. The phone lines are open. 0141 951 1025. Dramatic day in the Scottish Premiership, and that's just with two games, only two. But I'm not sure many would have predicted the outcomes. Dundee 1, St Johnstone 2 with a very, very late winner, and VAR drama coming from a goal down as well. And Killy were a goal up in Dingwall, but Ross County winning it 2-1. Killy down to 10 men. They've had their disciplinary issues. Looked like it was 9 before Joe Wright got a VAR reprieve. So if your team was involved in a game today, why not let us know what you thought? That's the beauty of a Saturday night. That's what it's all about here. 0141 951 1025. How did your team look today? It's that simple. You can moan about refs, you can praise players, you can question managers, you can do what you like. So give us a call. What also is often the case though on a Saturday is we look ahead to Sunday, and you'd be hard pushed to find many better Sundays than this. An Edinburgh derby to kick it all off. Both the teams are at the bottom of the table. There's an added spice. Both managers are about to manage in the fixture for the first time. What is not to like? So Hibs fans, Hearts fans, how are you feeling? How are the pre-match nerves? What about then Glasgow's big two involved in Europe during the week? What does this weekend look like? Rangers fans, based on what you saw on Thursday, what would you like to see happen to the team tomorrow? Are you keeping that midfield duo together, Nicholas Raskin and Conor Barron? Is it time Cyril Dessers did not start a game and Hamza Egerman got the nod? Is there anything else you'd like to see? And similar question, you Celtic fans, does Kyogo come back in? Does Carter Vickers come back in? Is it finally time for Luke McCowan to start a game perhaps? Or is Paolo Bernardo still above him in the queue? 0141 951 1025. A good day passed here and a good day still to come.
Yes, and the whole tone for tomorrow is set by what happens at Pittodrie this evening. Because if Aberdeen beat Dundee United and go 3 points clear of Celtic on their own at the top of the league table, then that sets up the game that Celtic have at Motherwell. And the Edinburgh derby is isolated because David Gray and Neil Critchley have their first Edinburgh derby, both of them, their first Edinburgh derby as managers. The pressure is on David Gray, and there's no other way of looking at it, because Hibs have won one of their eight league games and one of the last 14 games against Hearts. That's not the fault of David Gray. That's the fault of a succession of managers. But the one win in 8 league games is down to David Gray. Big, big day for him.
You'd have to agree, the way the results have failed today, you do look at Hibs and Hearts for that matter and think it's a big day for them tomorrow, because you certainly don't want to be cut adrift, especially with the teams that everyone expects, Ross County and St Johnstone, to be down there. But there's been a shift at St Johnstone, a change of manager, and it's brought about positive things, and we saw that today. A fantastic result for them. For Derek McInnes, he will be going down the road scratching his head. How can his team perform, you know, so well on Sunday and then come up short against a Ross County team who we all thought would be nearing the bottom? And down the Championship, well done Falkirk, because those games are tough. Those derby games are tough to get through, and they've got the job done again and remain well in front.
Yeah, someday that, Gordon.
Yeah, it's incredible. You look at the table now, St Johnstone leapfrog into six, and then Ross County, who we all fancy to be down there fighting relegation, they leapfrog everybody into seventh. So it's been a real productive day for those two teams. I've got to say, I'm like the guys, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I think there's some cracking fixtures, some very good fixtures, and I think all eyes will certainly be on Easter Road.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025, what do you make of your team's performance today, and how are you feeling about tomorrow? Rangers fans, Celtic fans, give us all your thoughts. Who should play, who shouldn't? How do you see the games going? How do you look back on Europe? Call us right now, please. Same to you, Hibs, and certainly Hearts fans. We've even got a big game at 5:30 tonight as well. Let's take a look there, because Aberdeen, the chance to go top of the table. At home to Dundee United, Dave Galloway can't wait. Really looking forward to that one, Hugh. I mean, they're massive clubs and we all know that, but both having good seasons, particularly Aberdeen. And as you say, even if it's until tomorrow, the chance for Aberdeen to finish the 26th of October top of the table would be quite something.
Yeah, it sets the tone for tomorrow, for the game at Fir Park, Motherwell Celtic. It also stands in its own right as quite the occasion. Jim Goodwin, the Dundee United manager, going back to Aberdeen, where he had the terrible misfortune to go out of the Scottish Cup to Darvel, and then follow that up with a 6-0 hammering at Easter Road. And everyone remembers those television pictures of Jim leaving the ground by a side entrance. So it's a big night for Jim, an even bigger night for Jimmy Tielan. A sellout crowd, again following on from last weekend's Celtic Aberdeen game, a great spectacle for our league, and our top league gets big crowds. It's gathering pace in terms of excitement. And now, do we have, and this is why the next couple of games are so important for Jimmy Tielan, do we have a club who last won the league 40 years ago who can seriously contemplate, let's not talk about winning the league because I think that's a conversation too far, but do we have a club who could split Celtic and Rangers and finish second in the league?
Team news is interesting, Mark, for, yeah, well, in fact, you can do your former team, Gordon, for you and Aberdeen. No Kevin Nisbet anywhere. Suggests an injury, obviously, came off last week.
Yeah.
But I think that was more tactical. And I don't know if he's struggling or if it's just a freshener, but Captain Graham Shinney on the bench.
I think he must be struggling. I think he's too important to Aberdeen. You know, I thought he was terrific second half, got that goal. Yes, helped by a bit of a deflection, but it's all down to him. He's the leader on the park for him, especially at home as well. So I think he must have a little knock. I'm not surprised. Look, he brought the two subs on who the start this afternoon. And you've got to say, well, this evening, sorry, you've got to say they made a big impact at Celtic Park. So they deserve the right to start tonight. And it's up to them to keep their spot. But this is going to be a great game. We listened to Dave there. Full house at Pittodrie. That's what you want to hear. That's what you want to see in our game. Dundee United going great guns just now. I think that's an absolute cracker in the making.
And I think United make for a dangerous opponent. It's the next test for Aberdeen. We keep talking about test. Test was going to Celtic Park and they showed that they could hold their own there. But negotiating these games, managing these games that they're expected to win, But then the flip side, Dundee United have went to Tynecastle and won, and went to St Mirren and won, and beat Hibs when they came from behind. And we saw, you know, what that can do for you with Derek McInnes's Kilmarnock at Dens Park, and that lifts him for the game against Rangers. So Dundee United, a dangerous opponent to play with some good players. We've mentioned Trapanovski and Babunski. So it's going to be a cracker. But Jimmy Thielen's side, you know, will do well not to take their eye off the ball and take this one for granted.
But what they have to avoid is the pitfall of losing players to injury, and that sabotages the whole deal, because they've already lost Papagay, who is still the Premiership's top goal scorer. They've now lost Kevin Nisbet, because there's no other explanation for him not being there other than injury. And Shinny drops to the bench, which must mean injury. Otherwise, he starts every game, home or away. And these things can booby-trap your season.
I think eyes are drawn to the bench because Ryan Strain's back in the bench for Dundee United.
Yeah. We've
not really been able to see him since his move. He's had that injury, but he's on the bench. Sam Dalby on loan from Wrexham.
He'd be good, yeah.
See,
yeah.
He gets to lead the line.
Yeah. The interesting one with Strain is that, and chatting to Jim about it, Ryan Strain obviously brought to the club to play in a particular system, the one that Jim's going for, that 3-4-3, and he's been missing, so he had to kind of rethink that a wee bit. He still went with the system, but who he could fit in there. But it's a good signing, or in the face of it, a good signing. So a big boost start for Dundee United. But Dalby up front looks a good player, and he's surrounded by guys who can create chances. So let's hope that one's a good one.
Yeah, Glenn Middleton, first league start last week, did very well, stays in the team. Let's hear from both managers, Jimmy Thielen followed by Jim Goodwin. Looking forward to it. Kickoff just around the corner. What about you on the phones then? 01419511025. Rangers fans, would you keep Barron and Raskin together? Would you start Cyril Dessers, or is it time he dropped out from the beginning? Does James Tavernier still play? Give us your thoughts there for St Mirren tomorrow. Celtic fans, Ida or Kyogo? Does Luke McCowan start? Does Carter Vickers come straight back in? How are you feeling about the trip to Fir Park? You've scored a number of dramatic winners there under Brendan Rodgers. What are you expecting tomorrow? If you call us right now, perfect time, we'll try and get you on next. Just about to kick off, about 4 or 5 minutes away from Aberdeen against Dundee United. Reviewing today's action, previewing tomorrow's action. Get involved if you can, just like Stevie in Gallahill has done. How are you, Stevie?
Doing, mate.
Not bad, how are you?
Ah, well, as I said, I've listened to you there, Gordon. Mm-hmm. And I think, brilliant. You've made a point that Dessers plays tomorrow, but Igemani is going to play with him, beside him. Now, Rangers have always had Derek Parley and Derek Johnston in the past. Colin Steen, anybody play me Colin Steen, you know. We've always had two players up front. Now, I don't know what Mr. Clement is playing at, you know. He's playing Dessers up front. Now, Dessers is playing a lone furrow now, you know. Whereas, if he had somebody up to support him, you know, I think Rangers would get goals, you know. But yet again, I can't understand that. Can I also make a wee point? There was a chap on your programme the other night there, and he made a great point. He was a Celtic supporter, and he said that football is played by robots nowadays. And I've got to agree with it. I mean, they're playing all this system, right? 4-5-1, and they're like robots, you know what I mean? It's not very exciting to watch. I watched the Dundee St Johnston game there this afternoon. What a great game it was. Although, I thought the goal was a wee bit offside, though. But anyway. But that's my point, guys. All right.
By the way, it looks like there was a bit of drama there for whatever reason. It doesn't look like they were able to accurately plot the lines for Nicky Clark, and that's why Kevin Clancy was just asked to go over and make a decision, and he's explained it. I mean, don't forget, there was this mad day where you actually just went with the on-field decision anyway.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, and I know that we've obviously moved on, so it sounds a bit strange. On that, though, I think two maybe slightly linked points there, Mark. I think most people actually probably do feel like Stevie. There is a robotic nature, really, yeah. At the moment. It's all about systems. It's all about structure. It's all about fulfilling your role, and your sort of license to go and create things yourself is maybe not there. Maybe where that links it to Stevie's first point is Philippe Clement and every other manager, they've got a structure in mind. They've got a system in mind. And you just whack another guy up front, everything else then
yeah.
has to change.
Yeah, it's the way football's been played now. Guardiola, I suppose, has a lot to do with that, how he introduced it and how he, you know, wants players in certain positions on the pitch to fill the full pitch, and that's where some of these systems have came from. The fact is, we very rarely see what even Daz had played in, the traditional 4-4-2 or a traditional 3-5-2 where you just get two strikers. Everything's to do with out of possession just as much as it is in possession. So while fans like Stevie and other fans phone up the show and say about Celtic playing two up or Rangers playing two up, they think you've got a better chance of scoring if you've got two strikers in the box. And it doesn't necessarily work out that way. Of course, if you play that way, managers will see the other side. We've got two strikers, which means one less midfielder or one less defensive player in there to plug some of the gaps, or one less winger to create for the strikers. It's a manager's preference. It's the game goes in cycles, of course. So probably, you'd imagine, these systems will come back. But for Leek, come on, it's not going to change, I don't think, overnight and just go, I've worked on this side. We've tactically worked at this system. I'm going to throw it out and then play two up front.
But I think it's an old-fashioned notion to think that everything's about who plays up front. Rangers get a goal from Tom Lawrence against Bucharest, two from Cherny, a wide player, and then one from Igamani, who I think has now earned his right to a start. So goals all over the place.
Okay, if you wouldn't do if everyone's saying look two up front just doesn't happen anymore and Rangers won't, if then you're saying Egerman is due a start now, is that tomorrow? Is it time to leave Dessers out from the beginning?
I think so, because I looked at his goal and he's taken it exceptionally well, and I think Dessers, you know, I do realise that he splits opinion and he has scored plenty of goals for Rangers, but at the moment he looks to me like someone who's struggling for confidence, and the way in which he left the park the other night was mystifying. I think Igamani deserves a chance against a team who are going to Ibrox, having lost the last three games on the bounce. And I mean, St Mirren, are they necessarily any better than Steaua Bucharest were on Thursday night?
Gordon, what do you think? You've been a big defender of Cyril Dessers. Mm-hmm. He's now gone six games without a goal, albeit his tally for the season's still okay. Mm-hmm. But six without a goal, is it maybe time?
I think a lot of Rangers fans will be looking at that. I think they'll have the same argument as what Hugh's given there. Me personally, I would stick with Dessers. I know that he's been I thought he was really poor at Rugby Park, I've got to say. If you're not scoring goals, you've got to contribute in your hold-up play. If you're scoring goals, you've got away with that. Nobody notices it. But when you're not scoring, then midfield players decide not to do those runs and get in behind because they know the ball's not going to stick. I didn't like the way he left the park the other night there, whether he's got a knock in the eye or whatever it may be. I just think he'll stick with Dessers tomorrow. I think there's a goal coming for him. And that builds the confidence again. He's had not a bad return. He's one of these players that he goes week to week by Rangers supporters. One week they think he's, yep, the real deal, the Rangers number nine. The following week he's a, you know, he's an easy target.
Before we go back to Stevie, what do you think, Mark, just to bring you in? Igamani has started. He started the Hibs game. Not everyone, clearly. I feel like some people may be forgetting that he had the nod. He was ineffective. It was 55 minutes, I think, and Dessers came on. But that said, you can't just, you know, start a guy once and never again. I mean, very few teams do that. It's not like Dessers is playing out his skin. So is tomorrow a good opportunity?
Yeah, I think it is. I think he showed glimpses of what he could be, Igamani. Dessers has had to carry the can for the majority of the games this season. And sometimes that pressure may weigh on your shoulders and you do go off form. But when you've got a striker showing glimpses and it excites the fans, I think it's an easy decision to put him in and see what you get from him. Because what's the worst that can happen? Now, the balance is, and I'm talking about systems and what players do off the ball as well, Dessers gives you a lot off the ball. And Clement will like that, his work rate and what he gives you in terms of pressing. So these are the the decisions managers make, not just purely on goals and things like that. It's about what they give to the team. And does Agumani give that? I don't know, because I've not seen him enough to gauge, but there's only one way you're going to find out, and that's to start.
Stevie, what you saw in Europe the other night, does that make you feel that Rangers could be turning a corner, or are we still a bit away from that?
Well, I don't know, but it was a great result, don't get me wrong. But Raskin and Barron must play in one team. Sterling, Nabor, but Agumani and Dessers up front. Because Rangers 1 up front are useless. They're useless, surely useless.
Well, I mean, they did, whether the opposition, all that sort of stuff, it was 4 goals scored with 1 up front the other night. As we've said before, it's in this day and age, it's just not that.
Often the question is when people say that, who do you take out then to put your other one up front, because you're sacrificing someone else?
Tom Lawrence went off, he might struggle. I don't think the managers nowadays, their occasional manager will play 2 up top, right?
Egan Man off a side with Barami in the Tom Lawrence role. I mean, it's still not 2 up front then, it just means that they both play, but
it could be. I think he has got options if Tom Lawrence isn't fit. But I totally agree with the fact that I thought Barn and Raskin the other night complemented each other brilliantly. So I'll be very surprised if they don't take the pitch tomorrow.
You go along with that. Is that one to just keep trying to build a bit of momentum with that partnership, Mark? I did find it interesting though, because on one hand, don't get me wrong, I think Philippe Clement's then got messages to send out. He doesn't want to, in a roundabout way, criticise Diomande, but he said after the game he pointed out that he thinks Diomande has been good as well. And it was just it was Bucharest that made him think Raskin and Barron were better together, you know, leaving the door open to bring Diomande back. And I don't know, maybe the Tom Lawrence thing means they all play anyway.
In terms of Diomande, I don't think Diomande's been great this season, if I'm honest. I think Barron's been the standout, and Raskin was the great hope, wasn't he? He came in, he looked brilliant when he first joined the club off the back of the January window. Took a step backwards, been in and out, but looked good the other night. Two of them very comfortable in the ball. Two of them looked secure and they know how to play the position. So I think with relationships like that, you've got to give them time to build. You can't just keep swapping players in and out. And Barron's the one constant. He looked comfortable with Raskin. I'd be surprised if it wasn't A2 tomorrow.
Can you see St Mirren causing any issues? They are generally one of those teams that you say are hard to beat and are well set up, and you know, and they are, but they're also not. Well, they're just not in brilliant form. They went to Tynecastle and lost 4-0 last week.
Yeah, they're in a poor run of form. There's no doubt. But I think the manager knows how to organise a football team, especially away from home. There's no pressure on them, because I think everybody is expecting a Rangers victory at Ibrox tomorrow. Look, if Rangers start the way they started on Thursday night, you know, sharp, closing down, winning the second balls, moving the ball quickly, get the early goals, then Rangers will go and have a comfortable afternoon. If they don't, then St Mirren are well capable of causing them all sorts of problems.
If we get this Aberdeen-Dundee United game out of the way, what if Dundee United win tonight? You know, Rangers might then be in a position where they could wipe out the deficit between themselves and Aberdeen over a matter of days. Because if Dundee United were to win at Pittodrie and Rangers win their next two games, St Mirren at Ibrox, Aberdeen at Pittodrie, that's the deficit wiped out. So that's possible. The incentive.
Yeah, it's possible, Hugh. Again, with Aberdeen, it's the test today against Dundee United, and it's possible, of course, and Rangers will be hoping that. But of course, they need to focus on themselves and get the job done. Now, St Mirren are struggling at the minute, so you'd expect them to build Rangers on the good work that they did the other night. The good thing about the other night, you were asking about positives, is they actually scored and created plenty of chances, and that's been a problem. It's looked a bit turgid at times for Rangers. It's looked at hard work.
Is it still different? And again, I know Bucharest weren't great, but do they still open up in a way that St Mirren won't?
Now that is a danger. Of course, St Mirren know what they're facing. Stephen Robinson's been there many times. He knows how to play the system. Maybe Bucharest were a bit open and thought they could go toe-to-toe. So it will be a different game, a different challenge. But those creative players, guys like Barron and Raskin, who are good at moving the ball, if they are at the top of the game, like Das says, St Mirren will find it hard when Rangers move the ball side to side. And when they get in the final third, they've got players that can create and hurt you. And if Agumani's in there, again, he looks lively, he looks like he's got a trick, he looks quick. that'll be a problem for St Mirren. But again, they've got to be at the top of their game. They can't take it for granted.
Here is Philippe Clement. Looks to look forward to then with that one tomorrow. What about the other game, Motherwell fans and Celtic fans? How do you see that one going? Tom Rogic, Matt O'Reilly, Adam Ida. We've seen some dramatic late winners for Celtic against Motherwell under Brendan Rodgers. So how do you see tomorrow going? Celtic fans, what changes would you make after Europe? Does that centre-back pairing, is it important they stay together? Have you got concerns about the fitness of Cameron Carter-Vickers, or would you bring him straight back in? Does Kyogo play instead of Ida? When is Luke McCowan going to get rewarded with a first start after some impressive displays off the bench? Let us know. We'll speak to you next. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. We're building up to tomorrow's big game, so give us your thoughts. We did a bit there on the Rangers-St Mirren game, so add your thoughts if you want. But what about Motherwell-Celtic? Want to hear from fans of both sides. Predictions, thoughts, team lineup suggestions, hopes, worries, fears, whatever it is, share them right now. A dramatic day with St Johnstone beating Dundee at Dens, County beating Kilmarnock, and as things stand with 7 on the clock, 10 on the clock actually, it is goalless. In fact, more than that, sorry, we're even further into the game, but it's goalless between Aberdeen and Dundee United. Linesman's been hit by the ball. Other than that, not loads happening. Obviously Aberdeen going with that sort of quick, or that attacking trio, Topi Keskinen, Duke and Esther Sockler. So all quite lively, but nothing really doing yet. You know, Keskinen's caused one or two issues. Walton had to collect a save. The visitors penned in a little bit. Mark, is that just to be expected?
Well, you'd have to think so, the way that Aberdeen have went about their business this season. You know, lots of forward runs, lots of forward thinking in their play. So you come up against a team who knows what they're doing in that respect, and it is hard to get out. But Jim said in his pre-match here, he knew what to expect. He knew how well Aberdeen were doing, and he knew what his team had to be. They have to be hard to beat, and if they get an opportunity, maybe for a set piece or something like that, they've got a couple of dangerous players in the box to grab something. So they're going to have to be patient, the United fans that have travelled up there, and if they get a chance, they'll need to take it.
I think it's one of the games that the old cliche kicks in, first goal is so important, because if the home side get it with that big crowd behind them, it's a full patodry, they'll really go for Dundee United. But if Dundee United can sit there, defend properly, they've always got a threat middle to front. And if they can get that first goal, puts a little bit of pressure on the Reds.
The Aberdeen fans, and we've watched it over the decades, the relationship between Aberdeen fans and Rangers fans is non-existent. They just don't like each other. And the Aberdeen fans are desperate to have Rangers go to Pittodrie on Wednesday night, with Aberdeen having the potential to go 9 points clear of Rangers. Therefore, they have to beat Dundee United tonight. And the longer the game goes on, the more tense the home crowd will become, because they cannot bear the thought of not maintaining the unbeaten record.
Let's hear from the managers ahead of that one tomorrow at Fir Park. Here's Stuart Kettlewell. Still goalless Aberdeen, Dundee United. What do you think, Mark? To what extent would Brendan Rodgers shuffle things around, if at all?
I fancy Ida to start, just going with what happened there last year. And, you know, space is restricted, and he's right in terms of Stuart Kettlewell and setting up his team. They made it difficult for Celtic last year. Of course, Ida comes on and he's the hero, because a wee bit more physical presence if you're putting balls into the Motherwell box. And then revert back to Kyogo when the game gets stretched a bit. I just wonder where Arne Engels as well. £11 million doesn't guarantee you a place every single week for every single game. And Brendan Rodgers touched on it. He knew he wasn't getting the finished article, and, you know, people should realise that, and I think he's spot on with that. I just wonder, when you've got such quality like Bernardo on the bench there as well, and Luke McCowan, if he'd be tempted just to give one of those two a chance and, you know, just take some of the stress. Engels has come in and he's had to hit the ground running and play almost instantly every game. I just wonder if we'll look at that position and maybe freshen things up. But the rest, I think, maybe take care of itself.
There's no doubt that the Arne Engels looked uncomfortable in Dingwall after the mauling from Borussia Dortmund. He almost looked as if he'd rather not be there. And it was a struggle, and they eventually took him off and brought on Luke McCowan. And McCowan immediately became the best Celtic player. Again, against Atalanta, started well, Armit Ingles, and faded from view. Perhaps at this time, I mean, the choices are plentiful for Brendan Rodgers. You know, if it's not McCowan, Bernardo, or McCowan and Bernardo. But I would disagree with Mark in one respect. Kyogo for me every time from the start tomorrow.
For once, I'm going with you. I think he'll go with Kyogo tomorrow. And I totally understand Mark's you know, point of view about it, but I think he'll go with Kyogo. Thought he looked really sharp when he came on the other night as well. The plan worked to a T for them. Look, he's got so much quality to change. He can change his midfield. McGregor will probably stay there. He could change the two of them in there. I've just got a sneaky because of, you know, people are starting to have a little go at Ingles. I think you might just keep him there, just to see him through it. He is a young lad. I wouldn't be surprised if he pulled him and says to him, look, just sit on the bench and we'll get you back on. But I think Brendan Rodgers is one of these guys that, you know, say, look, come on, we'll play your way through it. It'll be a terrific game tomorrow. You know the pitch is as good as you're ever going to get to play football. Motherwell are an attacking side, especially at home. So it might be a good game for him. But he's got so many to choose from, even in the wide areas. You know, he can mix that up as well, freshen it up. And to be honest, you're not really weakening the team that much, because they've just, as Stuart Kettlewell said there, £1 million players, international players. It's not a bad squad to have.
Yeah, do you know what? I was just looking at some of the Scottish Cup results. Remember I told you earlier, I've got a loose, very loose sort of family connection. Someone who wasn't happy that Clyde had been sent up to Elgin in the Cup. They'd something on tonight, basically, they wanted to get back for. That went to extra time and penalties.
Oh, no.
And they took so many penalties that they had to go back to the start.
Oh, like that.
Who won it?
Because every player took, and then they had to go back to the start, and then Elgin won.
Oh, dear. And you know what's going to happen?
Out.
The bus is going to break down.
Unbelievable. All the way back to the start of the penalties. That is incredible. But well done to Elgin going through in the Scottish Cup. Remarkable, really remarkable. Let's hear a little bit, just some brief thoughts from the managers today. Try and squeeze some in. There was I think this does count as VAR drama. I think we overuse that phrase, but the Nicky Clark goal, the suggestion is that it was not possible to properly draw the lines for offside. Now, I think this is maybe the first time we've had this. I knew eventually we'd run into this limitations. We don't have as many cameras as some other leagues. I don't even know how many cameras it would take to catch it. But they just couldn't draw the lines, basically. And it was up to, bear in mind, the on-field decision was that the goal stands. Uh-huh. So it was up to Kevin Clancy to come and have a look at what he thought. He went with the on-field decision, and it was a goal. They basically felt that Nicky Clark's body was blocked by other players, so they couldn't, you know, accurately distinguish it. So anyway, here's what Simo Vallecari had to say on it. It's not ideal, Hugh, clearly.
No.
I wonder what Tony Docherty, I think there's a real opportunity here for Tony Docherty to not be happy about it, and obviously it cost him the game, so I suspect he will. But, you know, these things have their limitations, I guess.
Well, you know what you'll be talking to Willie Colm about for your next VAR review.
Tony Docherty should be annoyed at his own team, though. You know, first and foremost, because a couple of weeks ago against Kilmarnock, they had an almighty collapse, and similar today. And he can have his argument about the decision all he wants, but you have to look internally and look at the mentality of your players when that's happened twice in 3 weeks. So problems there for Dundee. It all went swimmingly well last season, but had bit of a bump in the road.
There was late drama elsewhere. Of course, Derek McInnes went down to 10 men again, lost to Ross County. So there we go. He's gone more harsh decisions than critical of the players for keeping getting sent off.
Well, that's for the time being. You know, that's sometimes after a game, you talk to the broadcast media, and then the longer you wait and you talk to the written press, and you get a little harsher on your players.
Well, I don't think he is by what I'm hearing.
Oh, well, I'm slightly surprised, but Such is the nature of our league that Kilmarnock, Derek saying there, could not win three games in a row all of last season, and they can't do it so far this season. And St Johnstone and Ross County, the two teams that we were all tipping for automatic relegation and the relegation playoffs, they're now immediately after the top five. So they're 6 and 7, and there are five teams now worse off than them. And St Mirren, all of a sudden, we go into Ibrox tomorrow, are third bottom behind Hibs and Hearts, and they could be overtaken by either Hibs or Hearts and be second bottom by tomorrow. Topsy-turvy league.
Yeah, well done to St Johnstone and Ross County for winning today. Big result for Falkirk in the Championship. How much are you looking forward to tomorrow, Gordon?
Looking forward to it. Three terrific games. Starts in the capital. Hibs v Hearts. Hibs certainly need a result under David Gray. Hearts going there full of confidence. New manager Bounds, 2-1s in a trot, not conceded a goal. Then we're at Fir Park for Motherwell and Celtic and Rangers v St Mirren. Doesn't get any better, Super Sunday. But remember, turn your clocks back.
Oh, great advice.
Oh, love that.
He's
for
even
you.
Dishing out lifestyle advice on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Indeed, this is the worst night of the year for Hugh Keevans, because he still lives an analogue life and struggles with any type of
Could
clock.
Could you come up and
changing.
Sort my
no,
clocks out?
Absolutely not. Oh. But anyway, you three will be back tomorrow. Andrew McLean will be looking after you, and it promises to be an absolute cracker. I'll see you Monday, but tomorrow make sure you tune in for these three, because they are in for a treat. The GBX is up next.